Mr. Chris Winter to give to us his class entitled Family Values, Flushed Away. Well, good evening, friends, young people, brothers and sisters, and family. I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight. Before we begin, I'd just like to say if you have any questions, I'll be free afterwards for any answers that I can conjure up for you based on the word of truth. Tonight, we have a topic in front of us that I chose to try to, as it were, flush out some conversation. Family values flushed away. And if we take that a step further, I would like to take that a step further, and ask whether family values today are being either flushed away, as in, down the toilet, or are they being eroded away? Slowly, over time, erosion happens along the riverbank, here along this river, from a picture from China, actually, along their largest river in China. Is it like that, where the erosion is kind of slow, or is it really fast in our day and age? So that's the question I propose tonight. Are they being eroded away fast, like the flushing of a toilet? Or are they being eroded away slowly over time? Tonight, what we're going to look at on the screen, we have the start of the family, where the family began. The man and the woman in marriage. Then, of course, after marriage always comes children, most times. And then we're going to divert our attention over from the physical family over to the family of God. And then finally, we're going to ask or answer our question that we have proposed tonight. So first off, we can find family right at the beginning of the Bible, of course, right in Genesis chapter 2 here. At the same time that God created not only the earth, the seasons, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the animals that are around us, same time he created man, he created marriage, or the coming together of a man and a wife. So reading to you Genesis chapter 2, verse 20 to 24, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found and help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh and said instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And this Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So we get this picture of a man and a woman, add them together, they become one flesh. The word cleave here was used, and when I think of cleave, I think of a cleaver when I'm hacking away at some meat in the kitchen. And that's not the same thing that we're talking about here, although the same action is talked about. It's a fast-moving action. Just as if you were going to cleave a piece of meat, it is that same strong force needed, but it's to join together man and woman so that they are struck fast, strong, not coming apart. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, then goes on and talks about this verse. He says in Matthew 19, verse 4 to 6, "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh." They're not two, but they're one flesh. "What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." And this, I'm afraid to say, in our day and age, has been, as it were, not really kept, I guess the best way. It's kind of been thrown out the window by over a quarter of the population here in Canada. In other parts of the world, in Sweden, if you were married in Sweden, chances are by the time that you are dead, you will be unmarried, as their divorce rate is over 50%. And there's about three or four other countries in the world where the divorce rate is actually more than the rate that people stay together. The biggest problem today in married life is divorcement. It's a very big problem because it affects so many people. There's no longer the feeling that if you get married for life, it will be for life. The until death part has been thrown out the window, no longer practiced by approximately 38% of Canadians that are married. Within a 30-year span of you getting married, 38% of those getting married are going to end in a divorce. In Canada, as well as many other Western nations, this is very rampant. And I must say congratulations to India, because they have one of the lowest divorce rates in all of the world. In Canada, it's not prior to 1900, it was actually in 1900, the divorce rate in Canada were 15. In the whole of Canada, there was 15 divorces in 1900. In 1968, in Canada, the Divorce Act came into effect, and that allowed for the divorce to happen if you committed adultery, if one of the couples committed adultery, for cruelty, or for 3 years of separation. Prior to that, it was only for adultery could you be granted a divorce. We see that because of the 1968 Divorce Act, there was a 200% increase in divorces from the year before, going into 1968. In 1985, Divorce Act changed to no fault. In 1987, 2 years later, actually I believe it was in late 1986, the Divorce Act changed to a 1 year separation required for the divorce, plus all the other things, to lead to the highest ever divorce rate in Canada. We went from, in 1900, 15 divorces. In 1987, it was up to 96,200 divorces in Canada in that 1 year. So we see within 100 years a big change in the number of divorces within Canada. Mind you, there's a lot more marriages as well, and we'll get to that here in a minute. Statistics Canada in 2003, we've actually come down a bit. We're back at 70,000, a little bit off the 90,000. But we're still way up there. We still have thousands, 70,000 approximately. We've been in the 70,000 range now, I believe since 96 or 97, we've been within the 70,000 range. So every year, 70,000 more people get divorced. However, at the same time, the actual amount of people getting married has dropped as well. So as our divorce rate is actually going down, so is the number of marriages coming down as well. We see here on this chart, if you can read it, it's one I pulled off Stats Canada website. The blue, top blue, purple, is the number of marriages. And as it peaked in between 61 and I guess it'd be 71, it's now coming down and down and down per year. However, the number of divorces was nearly nothing up until the 1940s, is now skyrocketed in 2001. Liftoff pretty much as soon as the Divorce Act in Canada came to play. So the family structure is changing. When I first went to do this lecture, I wanted to talk about all the nitty-gritty things. And when I came to it, I found that the base of marriage and family life is what's affecting the rest of the family. Because if you don't have a strong mother, father, parenthood, then we don't have values to even give to the children. The divorce rate increased from 100 years ago, yet God says, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So we are completely going against what God has said. In the last 100 years at least, we have gone completely from almost doing what God has said it completely to just out of hand numbers doing exactly the opposite. People are not getting married today. They are living together in common law marriage, as we say in Canada, which is fornication. And you can find fornication throughout the Bible. I picked out one verse in Romans 1, verse 29 to 30. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debt, deceit, malignity, I can't say that word, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, and it goes on and on and on. But look what the fornicators are put with murderers, people who go on being deceitful, backbiters, haters of God, inventors of evil things. These people that are living in these common law marriages are put with all these other people and all these things that they have done as well. It's not the way that God has set it up. And of course, we have in Canada now, in the last decade or so, the same-sex marriage issue has come up. The Bible clearly states in Romans 1, verse 25 to 27, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the nature use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meant. So we see here God clearly is not in favor of the same-sex marriage issue. (Clears throat) We've just hit the tip of the iceberg in the marriage. The man and the woman's union is the base of the family unit. Today, with so much divorce, we have so many broken families. The ones that are hurt the most in the families are the children. And as we go along here, we'll see how important the children are to the rest of the family. Just some stats to throw out there. Off the top of my head, I can't remember how many children are within divorced marriages, but 4/5 of the children are with single mothers that are in divorced marriages, and 1/5 are with the father, single fathers taking care of their kids. And I believe the number was somewhere in the 2 million range, 2 million single parents within Canada. In Psalms here, though, we get the idea of what God had for the family with children. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb, is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with enemies at the gate. So the idea here that we are told is that the heritage of the Lord is the fruit of the womb. It's the children. There is a progression from parents to children in a heritage way that God has established right from the beginning. And happy is the man, we are told here, that has children. We see the little smiles of the young children, the cuteness, the absolute dependence upon the parents during the younger years. Children are very cute and cuddly, but like all things, they all have their moments. At some point or another, the child can become a handful, like a bunch of weights wanting to sink a ship. Like all things, God has implemented a purpose within the family unit with children and with parents for the learning of the both. First off, we are to be taught the ways of the Lord. And we can look at Abraham for an example back in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 18, Abraham is talked about here. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Abraham had the commandment to teach his children that which he knew of the Lord. There was a progression, an heritage as you were. There's a way for God to have more followers generation after generation. And this is what God has established. As parents, we are told that we are to teach our children to keep the way of the Lord and to do justice and judgment, to know what is right, what is wrong. So we are, in fact, passing along our knowledge that we have and our moral values, the ability to discern between what is right and what is wrong. And with this in mind, we can turn over to the Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon gives explanation towards the children. And he says, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to knowing understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with thy getting, get understanding. We are to teach our children wisdom, not of this world, but of God. The ability to discern between right and wrong in God's eyes and right and wrong in what we see around us are two different things. And we see that right with what we talked about earlier on with divorcement. We are told later in the Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I think this is probably every parent's hope, that if you train him up properly, he will not depart from it. And I know some parents who thought they did training good enough, and they did depart from it. So we can't stress enough that we must train up sufficiently our child in the ways of God in order for him not to depart from it. God instructs us as parents to teach our children. And it doesn't end there. For those of you who don't have parents and say, well, this doesn't belong to me. If you have uncles, if you are uncles, sorry, or aunts, if you are members of our body in this ecclesial hall, there's always children about, and you can set that good example, you can create that friendship that will help to teach the next generation. Wisdom is the principal thing that we just talked about in Proverbs. Wisdom is to know what is true and right, coupled with just judgment as to action. Understanding is knowing why a thing is the way it is through the process of demonstrating comprehension, intelligence, and discernment. That's right out of the dictionary. So you can't fault me on those. However, we must teach children as parents and uncles and aunts. We must teach our children the right and true way, the way God sees it. It is our value system, or the value system of God, being passed from us through the word to the child. Wisdom is knowing what is true or right, understanding, knowing how we can come to the conclusion of why it is true and right. Where do we get these things? We are to teach them about God, because the family structure, as we seen right from Genesis 1, was to create a godly seed, as Malachi 2 verse 5 has. We are to have instruction on the principles of God within our family units. We are told that right throughout Scripture. In Genesis, Abraham was told that, in Proverbs, and in the New Testament. To give principles of God to our children. We are supposed to wax on about wisdom and the ways of God, the wise ways of God that he has established for us within the pages of a Bible. And of course, we are supposed to teach our children about the example that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, as 1 Peter 2:21, if you look that up, says that Christ is our example. Great places to start teaching our children. Some easy ones that, if you haven't already looked them up, the chapters are up there. The Ten Commandments are a very easy place to start to teach our children about God. The Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 are very clear and concise as to what we should be doing. And as we talked about earlier this morning, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, there's other spots, of course, throughout Scripture that give us good, clear, biblical teaching that we can give to our children. And lastly, of course, through the Bible character studies. And I know that the Bible, the books that we have at the back, there are some great books, because we've bought a couple, unless they haven't replaced them. There's some great books back there to teach your kids basics about these characters, about Jesus, David, Daniel, Noah, Jonah, Abraham, all these Bible characters that had strong belief in the ways of God. And the kids love them, or at least mine does. But we move on now, because not only do we have, as it were, our family that we live with in our own homes, but we also have our family with our spiritual family, as we call it. And that is the family that we see some of us sitting here today. The family of the Church of God, or the Ecclesia, as we call it here. In Ephesians chapter 5, we get this picture of how the family of God works. And that's why I had it read to us today. And for those of you who have your Bibles with you, I strongly urge that you open it up and read it as we read along here. Ephesians chapter 5, because on the screen I'd split it up, you'll get the first half, but you won't get the second half as I read along. So if you have your Bible, if you turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, we get this picture of the spiritual family. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be subject unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that is the word of God, the Bible, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the Ecclesia. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So we have here a picture that we can put into our minds of a few things. If I can get my mouse to work. First of all, we read that God is the Father of us all. And we can If you want, afterwards, I have a few more verses that I can go to show you that God is the Father of us of all, or Father of us all. For we know that He has created us, and throughout Scripture, we are told over and over again, a few times in the Old Testament, many times throughout the New Testament, that God is the Father of us all. We have here another allusion, as Christ is the head, or the husband, and that the church is representative of the wife. The husband is to give himself for his wife and his family. He is supposed to, as it were, he is responsible to the washing himself and his wife with the Word of God, to implement the Word of God within the household. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a few friends that don't come out to church ever, and they have Bibles in their homes. But I have never, ever, ever seen them sit down to do the Bible readings in their own homes to, as it were, wash themselves with the Word of God. It's amazing that a few slides back we had up there what to teach our children, and one of the things was in Galatians 5. If you went over to Galatians 5, you would see that God talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And those fruits of the Spirit are things like peace. Actually, let's turn over there. I'll just turn over there and I'll read them again. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5 at verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Pretty short list of things to try to obtain to within the household. But if you go a few verses back, we see a lot of the things a few verses back that we've talked about what people are doing more and more every day. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest in verse 19, which are these: adultery, that is a man or a woman having sexual relations with one who is married. Fornication, that is sexual relations with someone who they're not married to. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. I know lots of people who envy other people. Drunkenness, murderers, revelings, and the such like. Sorry. So we have a contrast in Galatians. And if we look at this and we see families around us, we have a big contrast between what the family of God, as God has pointed out to us, is like compared to what most families are like. Keeping up with the Joneses. How many people here have been invited to a party by their neighbors where the booze is flowing? All of these things, God has said that they're not right. But you too, or all of us here, have been invited into God's family. We read in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29, "For ye are all the children of God by faith, if you're in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ," key word there is being baptized into Christ, "you have put on Christ. Neither is there Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." You are all part of that ecclesia, or that church, towards Christ, the family of believers. "And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed," and the word that comes up there that coincides kind of with heritage, we become heirs according to the promise given to Abraham, back in Genesis chapter 12, which let's look up, because I don't have it up there. If you turn over to Genesis chapter 12, because we still have a bit of time. Now the Lord, Genesis chapter 12 at verse 1, and the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of the country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And that was through the Lord Jesus Christ. All the families of the earth will be blessed because we can all become heirs according to this promise. We can all become in Christ, be part of that family. So, in conclusion, kind of, we come back to our question. Are the family values being flushed away? Or are they being eroded slowly like a riverbank? We have seen through that chart that I showed you in the last 100 years, especially the last 50 years, that there is a very rapid decline in family values. It started out very slow, the number of divorces, and then it kicked up, and then it kicked up, and then it skyrocketed. Like a rocket ship blowing it into the atmosphere. The divorce rate has skyrocketed in the last 100 years, especially the last 50 years, since 1985, even the last 20 years. Married peoples have declined from 80% to 70% in the last decade, and if you've seen the graph, it went up, and then it came back down. 10% in the last 10 years has the marriage rate dropped. So people are more going into common law marriages, where they have rose a 15% over the last 20 years. They're living together, but they are not married in God's eyes. They're married in tax's eyes, but not in God's eyes. And to go along with that, the people that have actually gone out and take the word and are religious has dropped, or has increased, from 12.3% to 16.2%. It's the current rate of non-religious, of people that don't believe in any God, has raised up to 16.2% as of the 2003 census. So more people are practicing no God at all in their life than ever before in Canada. And actually, yeah, we'll leave it at that. It's amazing what you can get from Stats Canada. So my question is have our family values been flushed away or eroded like a riverbank? In the last 20 years, we have seen complete flush. So quick. Marriage, let's get divorced. Before that, it was more like an erosion, where family values were slowly being taken away and taken away. But in the last 20 years, the base family values of even staying together in marriage is like it is being flushed away. But me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. In Joshua 24, this is after Israel, or the nation of Israel, had come out of Egypt. They had been taken out of Egypt through the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea, and they had conquered the land of Israel, and they were going through their conquerings. And Joshua here says this, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, that subsequently drowned, as the Egyptians were drowned, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, because they had conquered these lands. But as for me, Joshua says, and my house, we will serve the Lord. And with that, we come to a conclusion. So, as we can see, the base family values, the absolute base of the family, the parents, passing along God's message has totally been flushed away. And we see that we need to get back, as it were, to Bible basics. Back to putting God back in the house so that we will serve the Lord. If you have any questions afterwards, I'd be happy to talk to you. Thank you.